From the International Society of Analytical Trilogy in Sao Paulo, Brazil, this is Healing Through Consciousness. You know, we live in a world that's been hard to make sense of. And our media doesn't help very much. They string together story after story, day in and day out, with the enormous bias towards disaster and trouble, without giving us any connecting thread, no way to fit the pieces together. We're cast adrift on a sea of opinion and punditry and blatant spin. And we throw up our hands in despair and order another round and turn to the baseball stats because that we can make sense of. Well, all that starts changing today. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and I'm with Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco, the Vice President of the International Society of Analytical Trilogy, Dr. Kepi's extraordinary scientific organization in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And I say organization specifically because it is a real going concern, which we'll be telling you more about in a few minutes. And also taking your calls today, which is very exciting for us, our first time doing this, in my experience here in Brazil, my first time ever doing this with this great science of Dr. Kepi. You know, I'm faced, as always, when I'm talking about Dr. Norberto Kepi's work, with the profound challenge of trying to encapsulate this sweeping body of work in any efficient way that does justice to it. Because, believe me, this work is extremely expansive. I've been studying here for going on 8 years, and I feel like I'm starting to scratch the surface. I have friends who've been studying it with Dr. Kepi for 20 years. They tell me they are starting to understand, too. Maybe that's an ongoing process. You know, Shakespeare talked about the tangled web of human machinations and the lack of a through line, a means to analyze ourselves and our society, has been noticeably absent. We can't untangle that web of human machinations. Well, this is exactly where Norberto Kepi's work comes in. What Kepi has done is essentially complete the map of the human psyche. After that promising start by Freud and the early German psychology got a little off track by a number of more superficial treatments like behaviorism and some of the numerous talk therapies that are so popular in the United States, in Canada, and North American culture, the more esoteric methods that are used there today. Our psychology got lost in the Siberia of psychotropic drugs that poses for psychiatric treatment today. Kepi actually has connected the dots and given us both an enormous insight into how we are and how our society is, but also extraordinarily, he's discovered approaches to treating our human psychological lives. Claudia Pacheco is with me today, and Claudia is much more equipped than I am to talk about Kepi's work, but I want to just introduce her a little bit because I think it's important that you know who she is. If you've been listening to my podcast, Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, for the last year and a half or so, you'll know her voice very well because she's a very frequent contributor to that podcast and always has a way of taking a subject and then drawing a bigger circle so we understand more deeply what it is that's happening inside human beings. Claudia is the Vice President of Norberto Kepi's International Society of Analytical Trilogy. She's the President of the Stop the Destruction of the World Association. I'll be giving you websites about those things as we go through the program today. And is very actively involved, very closely involved, working with Dr. Kepi on a day-by-day basis. She's also, in her own right, a very well-respected and published author. She sees clients from all over the world today in psychoanalysis, and really is a perfect person to have to do this program with. So, Claudia, welcome. Our first program.
Oh, thank you, Richard. I feel overwhelmed today because I understand that we have a very important contribution to give to our listeners. But on the other hand, I would like to deserve the chance to be invited by you and have you as a host for this show. You are an incredible professional in communications, and I'm very proud of being here. And I welcome all the people that are in, like tuning our radio show today and encouraging you to participate in this show where we are not wanting to hide problems, mistakes. We could call this the true, real show, or show of the reality, or reality show.
Yeah, true reality show, man.
Yeah, true reality show, where we could say that you are invited to join us and speak freely and openly, as if you were lying down on a couch, and I was here listening to you. And when you say, when you speak openly and freely without censorship about the questions that you have always had, and maybe you never had any courage to talk to anyone about them or to go to a psychoanalyst because you are afraid to undergo a long, long treatment, even without knowing the results of this treatment. So being insecure, you have a chance now to do this and give us a chance also to help you, because I'm sure, Richard, and in this sense you are right, phylogical science or integral psychoanalysis is a real, real good instrument to help mankind and human beings in all countries.
You know, I came here, Claudia, almost 8 years ago now. I came for 6 months. But almost 8 years, I obviously stayed a long time. And I was very impressed from the very beginning by how Dr. Kepi saw the human being, how he understood not just the psyche of the human being, but the society that the human being lives in. This is something we'll explore much more in this program as the program progresses and as people call with their questions and answers. It's an extremely useful understanding for us to have, because I feel people are lost somehow, Claudia. People are, they look around, they see the financial crisis that's happening, they see problems in their relationships, they see increasing rates of depression, they see all of these quote-unquote terrible things happening around them, and they don't know how to understand it. It's one thing on top of another.
We are in a dead-end kind of situation in humanity and civilization, Richard, where all institutions are falling apart, where all the theories are also being challenged. We used to respect some authorities in society that now we see that, well, they don't deserve as much respect as we thought before. So I think that Freud inaugurated a new era in civilization when he started the science of psychoanalysis. He brought the concept that we are not really what we show or what we appear to be in society. We are, in truth, another creatures. We have thoughts, feelings, intentions, desires, hidden. Sometimes even we don't have any idea about them. And the scientific proof that Freud brought about this kind of a hidden self or unconscious life in ourselves were the slips, not only the slip of tongue, but also all slips, dreams. Hypnosis was one of the scientific tools to understand we had an unconscious behavior, an unconscious life in us. But then all this hope that he brought was drastically and very painfully shown to be not the right answer. Because after 40 or 50 years of psychoanalysis and its influence in the world, we just saw problems increasing, depression, drugs, divorces, injustice, social injustice, this sense of the lack of sense of meaning in life, a meaningless life. So all this increasing unsatisfaction showed that Freud's theories were not right. And in this scenario, we see Kepi coming as a very important scientist, because he started from the beginning of the, not only Freud, the great psychoanalysts that worked with Freud at the time of Freud, and also the great thinkers of humanity, and utilizing his own scientific experience and clinical practice, he was able to discover that we are really upside down, having an upside down kind of existence, and we have upside down values. And starting from this perception of inversion, he built up an enormous, like, a work, a huge work that was applied in economy, in law, in education, in psychosomatic medicine, psychoanalysis, in all areas, even theology.
Yeah, I think this is a very extraordinary thing, Claudia, because the application, it's not just a psychoanalysis.
Yeah.
It's a way to understand, really, the human condition and all of the human structures in the planet. Because of this work he's done at determining the basic root cause of the problem of the human being. And he put it this way in one of his books. He said that we are what we don't know about ourselves.
Yes.
That we have a hidden part, as you're alluding to now. And this is a kind of a key in to see ourselves in a more direct way. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sometimes people get afraid when they hear about this.
Yeah.
Because they think, oh my God, so what do I have inside of me? Do I have monsters, crocodiles, snakes, or what? Am I so horrible and terrible inside of myself that I have to hide myself and escape and keep running and running and escaping from me and from everything? And people suffer from a tremendous anxiety and sometimes panic attacks that are the result of this emotional disturbance inside of ourselves. But when Kepi speaks about human being, he starts from a very important premise, philosophical, metaphysical premise. Good is the essence of the being. The being is good, beautiful, and truthful by nature, by essence. Evil does not exist by itself. It is the absence of good. It is the destruction, the denial of good. Therefore, neurosis, any sickness, any illness, is the same. Based in this philosophical and metaphysical perception, Kepi noticed that neurosis was not our natural state. Neurosis is a denial of our true being. Psychosis is even a bigger denial, with total censorship of our true being, which should be and is, in the basis, good, beautiful, truthful.
Okay.
Therefore, what we have hidden inside of us, Mr. Jones,
yeah,
it's an enormous and precious treasure that is hidden because of a pathological attitude and inverted will.
Now, there's much more to say about this. I want to give you a few phone numbers as you're listening, and also a direct email that you can email to us if you have questions. Maybe you don't want to go on the air with us live. That's cool. You can email us at joneshealing@gmail.com. That's our personal email to get directly to us. We have some toll-free lines as well. And we'd really like to encourage you to call. This would be really fantastic.
I would appreciate very much, because when people call and make questions, then I have an incredible source of inspiration to explain.
Exactly. We tend to think in trilogical terms when we're studying Dr. Kebbi's work. We have to get these big concepts and understand them, and then we understand our lives. But actually, it's through the practical day-to-day problems that we have that we begin to understand these concepts in a better way.
Yes, and this is science, Jones. And all these incredible concepts Kepi developed, he took from everyday practical problems that the thousands of clients he attended during his life brought to him.
I just want to point out that most of these theories were done before he started analysis with me, so he didn't notice the pathology. Okay, but I fit into every one of those. Listen, some numbers I want you to just note down. If you're calling worldwide outside the United States, we do have a toll-free number available through Skype and also through your regular phone service. It's at 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. If you're in the USA only, we also have a toll-free number there, 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. A couple of numbers for you there. And you can get those on the bbsradio.com website, by the way, if you missed all those numbers. Sometimes hearing that many numbers in a row makes you kind of go, makes all of us dyslexic. But there it is. Those are the lines where you can call us, and we would really encourage that. I'm going to have some Trilogy websites to give you a little bit later, but I don't want to overburden you with web addresses and phone numbers and stuff now. But I want to continue on from what Claudia was talking about.
I understood, Jones, yeah, that you have some questions brought by some of your podcast listeners. We might try to start from that point.
Right. There was a very interesting email I received from a young woman who's been listening from Sedona, Arizona for quite a while now. In fact, came to our World Conference of Analytical Trilogy in San Diego, which we just held back in September. It's already 6 months. And she said this. She said she was listening to a national public radio show the other day. And the topic of the radio show was, how are you handling the stress of the financial meltdown? The subject of the program. And one woman called in and told of her difficulties and that she was taking Xanax to help her through. And one of the experts answered her by giving her some moral support and told her it was a good thing she was taking her medication. And so my listener said, well, this is going to be a big boon for Big Pharma, isn't it? People keep giving these kinds of advices. And then she said, I'm sure you all think about this all the time, so I think you have so much to offer people about how to move through things without the drugs. And I noticed that we have a call waiting, Claudia, but let's answer that first. And Dawn, our operator there back at the station, just hold that call for a minute because we will get to it in a second. But how would you answer this situation, Claudia, with giving moral support, advising drugs? We have a much different approach to that here.
Yes, Jones. We understand that people get anxious or depressed when they don't want to face any problem or any consciousness of problem. So what we see here in a bigger situation is that people are seeing it, are becoming more conscious of a problem that always existed, and it has been existing for a long time. But this problem that seems to be a problem in reality is a liberation for many, many people from the world, for the world. Because we have been been brought to this crisis by this inverted, upside-down laws of finance, the financial laws that mostly were encouraged by Reaganomics. And since Ronald Reagan brought this neoliberalism to the United States, which was also encouraged to happen in other countries, this brought this upside-down understanding that money comes from money and work is not valuable, that you don't really make money from work, but you get money from money. So this is a very illusory and inverted idea. And this caused the majority of the problems that we are facing in the moment. And we are very lucky that this pseudo-economy is showing its false foundations. So we now are in time to fix it.
I've never heard the economic crisis being described as a liberation before. That is a new thing for me, and
yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, so I encourage very much people to speak about this, because now we have a chance to understand better how the true economy works and how a beautiful, truthful, work for the true society can start right now. But I'm anxious to hear about our listeners.
Yeah, me too. We'll get back to this in a minute. So, Dawn, you can put the caller on the line. Who's there for us today?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is your friend Susan in New York.
Hello, Susan in New York.
Hello, Susan. How are you?
Wonderful. Congratulations. You sound terrific to both of you. And I
great. Thank you, Susan.
Oh, sure. Well, I have a question for Dr. Claudia. And it's about young people. The other day I was at a dinner party, and I was speaking with the people that were there. They were very... there were professionals, there were several doctors there, and so these were people that were of a high level. And they were talking about their children, and do you know that every single one of them, they had children in their 20s, some were in college, some were just out of college, and these kids were still living at home. They hadn't, they seemed unable to go out into the world to find work, or if they were working, they were working at low-paying jobs, and the parents were subsidizing them. And several of them were complaining that their children were the reason was because their children were suffering from ADD, which is attention deficit disorder, and were taking medication. And it seems that not just in this group, but around, there are so many kids that are still living at home after college. This was not the case when I left home at 17, and I never wanted to come back. And I was wondering if Dr. Claudia could comment on that, because I'm very worried about the state of our country if the young people can't even go out there and fend for themselves. They seem so dependent. What do you have to say about that?
Yes, Susan, and it seems that this is a worldwide problem. Here in Brazil, we are perceiving the same thing happening. And from my understanding and reading Dr. Kepi's writings about this situation, I think that this is a result of a wrong understanding about freedom and the wrong use of freedom of humanity. And in Susan, this started mostly with the increase, the power of psychology in the world and how education was influenced by the wrong concept of psychology, thinking that if you repress, if you frustrate a child, a youngster, in their wishes, their desires, we would deform their personality. We would cause complexes and psychosis, neuroses, frustrations, and this would not be good for their development. And we can understand that a society too much censored or repressive, prohibitive, is not good as well. But this other way, or the other side of the coin, where you leave all the wishes, the desires, the impulses of a child in freedom, so this will bring these difficulties because we are not free. Human beings are not free to do whatever they wish. Our wishes, many of them, are a result of our inverted will, upside-down will. So if we do everything we want, we will destroy our health, our development, our society, as we are doing in reality. So this generation is a result of the influence of psychology in education, in family living, in all areas, thinking that freedom is to do whatever one wishes to do. And this is absolutely pathological.
I just wanted to see if Susan had another comment to make before I jumped in, but I think, Claudia, this is one of the real powerful discoveries that Dr. Kepi has found, that we have desires against
yes.
the true nature you talked about before. This is a shock to most of us, right? The idea that we have bad intentions or that we have a will, that we shouldn't just do what we want, that there's something wrong. This is very strange for us.
Yes, we should do everything and only what is good, beautiful, and truthful. This is what we should do. But in reality, we don't do that. But at least we should know that if we do whatever we want and we please, then the results will be what we are facing in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is science. This is science. You can see this since the children are very young. If you leave them doing whatever they want, they commit suicide very soon.
Yeah. Well, is there something that these parents can do to help their children get to work? I mean, these are kids that have gone through college. They're certainly more than old enough to go to work, you know, in their early 20s already. What should these parents do to help their children at this point?
You know, Susan, children are also a result of a mentality, of worldwide mentality, that work is a burden. Work is a sacrifice. Work is a thing for stupid people. And the true
reality radio now.
Yeah, the true smart people don't work. They make money while they are sleeping or while they sleep. So everybody's against work, and they can't wait until the day they are going to retire and do nothing.
Start living, real living, as they say. Yeah.
Yes, Jones. And then what happens if you retire? When you retire, you get sick very, very rapidly, and you die soon. So we are not meant to be slaves for a sick society and to be exploited by powerful people as we have been so far. But we are born to work for our own good and for our own development and for the development of the society. So society is also wrong and upside down in its concepts. Nobody likes to work. How can I teach my child the value of work if I hate working myself? Even if I say I accept to work, but if I see in work a burden, I will energetically show this to my children, teach them through energy, through psychogenetics, which is another big area to speak later in our radio program.
Well, thank you.
So what's to be done? You know, that we have a big job to do in our world of returning to some important values of work and
you
sacrifice.
Know, we have to become conscious, Jones, that we are enemies of work. Now, that we don't like to work. So this is something important to acknowledge. And it's nonsense to fight with our children and to tell them something that they are not ready to do if we are not ready to do either. If we don't like to work, our children will not like to work as well. But talking to them and bringing a new concept or the true concept of the value of work to their lives is the only way, because there is no way back for humanity. Now we must live a life with the freedom of consciousness. We must be free. Consciously free, in terms of understanding why we do things, in depth, why we do things, why we should do this, why we shouldn't do that. So now we are entering a new phase in humanity.
And part of Dr. Kepi's work that's important here, Claudia, is that this has never really been studied in the history of humankind before, this question of the will of the human being.
Yeah, being inverted. All
inverted.
That is being inverted.
Yeah, and so there's a sort of a on our website, we have these three drops into a huge lake of water on the website. It's the image that we're using for our show, these drops of consciousness, of spirituality, to try to bring consciousness to this aspect of human beings. And I was thinking as you were speaking, I remember reading about a study, actually many studies have been done about this, where human beings are told by their doctors that they must change. They must change their lifestyle. They have to start getting exercise. They have to stop eating so much fat. They have to stop smoking, stop drinking. They must change, or they will face a very serious situation, maybe even death, in a very short time. They must change or they will die. And only 10% of people change.
Because if you start saying you must for a patient, you will create such a resistance. He will do the opposite. Because nobody wants to be repressed in anything.
Censored.
No. You must. It's a kind of censorship. So we need to become conscious of things. We think that children are not ready to understand things, but they are. We have the truth inside of ourselves. If you want to deceive your child, he will not accept. So if neurotic behavior, if you want to see the degree of neurosis in a person, you see how much this person...
Hello. Hello, Richard.
Oh, hi, Cesar.
Oh, it was quite difficult to enter in the line.
You're on
the
line
for the
now.
Delay. I've been trying for 10 minutes. What's up?
We're on the air live, Cesar. Let me just introduce you. Let me let Claudia finish her thought first.
Okay. All right.
And then we'll get to you. Just 1 minute. Finish your thought, Claudia. This is very, very good what you're talking about. This tendency we have to want to censor, to want to impose.
Yes.
This is a moralistic.
Yes.
Doesn't work.
So saying a must for a person just increases the desire. That's why diets don't work. So if you do a strong diet, then the chance of eating much more after you stop your diet, it's really big. So. Now, it's a time of consciousness, so we need to become aware of why we do things and how things would be otherwise, if things would be in the right way, so we can have the freedom, a conscious freedom to choose what we want. So you cannot never say to a patient, you must do this or you die. We would say, you have to see why you want to die, what you are doing that you are choosing death. This is the question. Why you want to die? Why you want to destroy your life? What the results show, your hidden intention. If you are sick, if you are dying, it's because you are doing something against your life. So that's the point to be addressed.
Very calming, this. Well, you're listening to Healing Through Consciousness, our first program, with Richard Lloyd-Jones and Dr. Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco. We have a good friend on the line now. We wanted to bring him in today because it's also another very momentous event is happening here in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The Eco Germa trade show. This is a German ecological trade show. And Cesar Sauss, one of our great dear friends, is there with the Kepi motor, and this is a rather extraordinary invention, actually, that captures the energy of the universe. This is technology that Tesla was working on, many people have been working on for the last 100 years, and nobody has really managed, to my knowledge, to be able to capture this. The Kepi motor, based on Norberto Kepi's applications of his theories in the area of physics, is doing just that. And Cesar is there right now. One of the developers of this motor is at the fair, and I thought we would get a report from him of what's happening. Cesar, how are things? Lots of people. What's going on?
Yeah, well, hello, Richard. Hello, everybody. Well, here at the exhibition, there are a lot of stands and many presentations, and our presentation seems to be one of the most interesting because we are really presenting something revolutionary, and both Germans and Brazilian entrepreneurs, they are considering it extremely extremely interesting, extremely original, because it's not like anything else you can see in a market. So we are presenting one regular motor, a conventional motor, and comparing its performance to the Kepi motor doing the same mechanical work. And this is being fantastic, because when the people see we can make the same mechanical work as a conventional motor with a Kepi motor as saving about 90% of energy. They get really enthusiastic about that. They start to figure out what this could mean for the world if we use these motors in cars, in airplanes, in industries, pumps, whatever, even generators, you see. And so this is causing quite a lot of talk here. Many people have visited our stands. They are taking books. They want to know the principle Dr. Kepi discovered in his book, The New Physics. And this has been simply fantastic, Richard. Simply fantastic.
Senator, you were saying that they're getting excited. I get excited about this, and I don't know very much about technology. But I'll tell you, the idea that you can drive a fan or any kind of apparatus at the same torque using 90% less energy is exciting for all of us. What's the basic principle of Kepi's work you think that would be interesting for our listeners to know? Because Dr. Kepi's work is very expansive, and in this area of physics, what is the one or two principles that are sort of key for people to understand at a basic level?
The greatest discovery of Dr. Kepi was when he discovered that physics was inverted. Dr. Kepi discovered the phenomenon called inversion. And this inversion is behind all theories in the world and also in physics. And so by applying his discovery in physics, he disinverted physics. And what is the basic inversion of physics? Physics believes that energy comes from matter. So if you want to have energy, you think about coal, you think about uranium, plutonium, you think about gas, you think about wood, you think about material elements. And because of this thought, this inverted thought, we are destroying, depleting our material world. We're destroying the world. That's the consequence we are seeing today. So in this new physics, Dr. Kepi proposes that we should capture energy from space because space itself is energy. So for the first time, we are developing a technology that can tap into this energy of vacuum, energy of space. So imagine this, a world that could run taking energy from space and not from material elements. From one moment to the other, we would save the planet. Have you imagined that, Richard? This is the greatest discovery of Dr. Kepi. It's feasible. We can put this in terms of technology. And that's exactly what the Kepi motor does. It takes energy from the space. Most of it comes from the space. It uses a little battery just to give a start and to continue to supply a little impulse for the motor. And then the rest the motor takes from space and delivers the same mechanical work as any other conventional motor, but with much less consumption. This is simply great. The principle is in the very beginning, and it can be much more developed yet. And I'm pretty sure in the next months or years that are coming, with the proper investments, we can apply this motor for any kind of apparatus, any kind of machine in the world. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah, Cesar, I think Claudia said at the beginning of the program that human beings don't have a way out anymore. We're on a dead end. If we continue the way we are, obviously physically on our planet taking our resources, but even psychologically, politically, economically, if we continue the way we have been, we will destroy everything about us. So we don't have an option. We need to be understanding this science of Dr. Kepi's in terms of physics so that we can create this new technology. This Kepi motor is a very exciting development, in my opinion. We have a site.
Yes, the Kepi motor is the first technological machine apparatus that proves that it is possible to save our planet, energetically speaking. The world is in a dead end. I agree with you. They are trying to offer here in the fair, the Germans, which is the country, most developed country in terms of searching for new technologies, and they do not have new solutions. They just are trying to develop the solutions that are already exist, like solar batteries, solar panels, wind technology, things like this, you know. But we are the only ones who are offering this possibility of taking energy from space. This is a real revolution, you know. It's the new physics Dr. Kepi wrote in practice. We have already this technology. It's a matter of developing it, just that. technology is feasible, is real, and for a very low cost as well. We do not need special materials or huge amounts of money to develop this technology. It's in fact much cheaper than the conventional technology.
Really great, Cesar. We have, there's a Kepi Motor site for any of you listening who are interested in that. It's kepimotor.com. And there you can find all sorts of information, Kepi groups, a blog, all sorts of frequently asked questions. So there's lots of information there, including videos about this motor in operation. That's very exciting. And all of Dr. Kepi's books in English are available on our Trilogy site, our sort of portal site, which is Trilogia, T-R-I-L-O-G-I-A, Trilogia.ws. That's our portal site. You'll find a link there for podcasts, the Analytical Trilogy Society, our Stop the Destruction of the World Association, and our bookstore as well. So do check that out as you're listening. Some comments, Claudia, about Cesar's great, exciting news?
Yes. What is interesting in this motor is that this motor is a less neurotic or a non-balanced motor because the other motors are a kind of neurotic motors, as we are, Richard. Dr. Kepi was inspired to idealize this motor by understanding how we work as beings and motors. We are kind of broken motors, because we just take advantage from about 40%, 30% of the energy we get from space. So we are beings that are fed by this energy as well. And we just utilize a minimum quantity of this energy. Some scientists, researchers, they say we just utilize 5% of our brain capacity. And this is also very much related to energy. So, if we understand that we are motors, that are neurotic motors, rotten motors, whatever you may call, or inverted upside-down motors, and if we understand how we are going to work in the better direction, we can take much more advantage from the energy we have in life. So, the grandiosity of Kepi's scientific instrument and method is that people can be healed in 1, 2, or 3 sessions of analysis, if they are become conscious of what are the obstacles they are placing and that are impeding the coming in or the enjoyment of this energy. So if they are conscious of this consciousness unblock the entrance of the energy in our being. And we really can get healed very fast from all sorts of diseases. Lately, some scientists are studying the tremendous, powerful effect of magnetism in terms of health treatments, even in terms of restoring neurons, bone cells, and this is what we have observed in years and years and years of attending clients that were healed from all sorts of diseases, starting from diabetes, high blood pressure, heart diseases, and infections. All sorts of diseases can be healed just through consciousness. Healing through consciousness is very powerful. It's extremely powerful.
Because we are, as you said, our natural state would be a state of health. So if we have an unhealthy situation, it's something that we are doing to block this essential energy, to block the essence of ourselves, right?
Yes, right. Yes, right. And you know, Jones, that we are not body and soul. We are just one energy. And a smaller part of this energy is condensed in our body. So we are the manifestation of energetic, powerful, essential, this essential energy, this divine essence we have is being blocked by our wrong inverted will, our wrong thoughts, our negative emotions, And as soon as we become conscious of that, we can unblock this energy.
Because that can be treated, right?
Sure.
If we're naturally sick, how do you treat that? It's impossible. But if we have, if sickness is like the aberration of health, that the aberration can be treated.
And I want to say you something, tell you something. Society is the same, Richard. Society is naturally, should be naturally healthy, and it's not anymore. So when we speak about reality, say, people say, but reality is this. I don't want reality. I want to escape from reality. But when we speak about reality, we are speaking about the true reality and the pseudo-reality. The pseudo-reality is what we are trying to live, which is a total upside-down society, artificial, improper for human beings, inhumane society. So this is a pseudo society. The true natural society, original society, should be paradise. So it's the name of the city where our show is being hosted.
Yes, it's very nice. Desi, you have a presentation to make at 3 o'clock our time, I understand.
Yes, yes, I have.
Okay, so go to that and have a wonderful time there. We'll be thinking about you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for you all.
I'll be seeing you tomorrow at your fair.
Ah, very nice. Cesar Sauce joining us from the Eco Germa trade show here in São Paulo, Brazil. And, Claudia, I was reading today as I was preparing for the program about the approach of modern psychology in some areas, at least one person's opinion. And he was saying that the ideal state of mental health, it's a completely irrelevant question to them. He says it's much more important to treat the individual problems. I want to treat the problem. I want to go in there and find out what this is and find out what that is and treat this individual problem. And this seems to me to be a real schizophrenia in our world today, that we're trying to deal with individual problems. And Kepi's work is not like that. It's a very global approach.
Integral. Holy. Because we don't take good things from illness. We don't take good things from what is negative and wrong and problems and diseases. We are healed through consciousness, and consciousness is always good, beautiful, and truthful if we accept it. So if we see a problem, Richard, we have to see it always as a destruction, a denial, a distortion of something that is good. So if I have a problem, I will see something that is good being destroyed. For instance, if I have an ulcer, it is a destruction of a healthy stomach. If I have a painful leg, it's a destruction, a distortion, a malfunction of a healthy leg. Otherwise, it would not be painful. In the same way, our psychological problems, they are much more painful than organic illnesses. So if I feel bad, there is something I'm doing wrong against myself, my life, or the life of other people. So if I am sad, I am doing something to destroy my happiness. And I must see what is in the root of the problem. And if I don't approach human problems under this perspective and seeing us as a part of a larger organism, of a larger society, we cannot be like an isolated cell from this huge organism. And I think that for Kepi, the good action, doing good for society, for the world, for humanity, is absolutely essential for mental balance and for a good health. People normally don't think about that.
No.
They think, oh, I should do some voluntary work, some charity, but no, we must change society as a whole to make it be beautiful, truthful, and good.
There's a lot of work to be done.
A lot. But we don't have any other choice.
No, and it's fun work anyway. It's the true work we're here to do, so we should take pleasure in that, you know. I wanted to give people a perspective of analytical trilogy in the world, Claudia, here. We've got about 5 minutes of our show left, and I wanted people to understand that this comes from very, very deep science. So much of what troubles us maybe about psychology is it comes from opinions, it comes from theories, it's not necessarily based on anything that's gone before. Kepi's work is not like that. Norberto Kepi has studied the greatest thinkers and philosophers throughout history, and his work is analytical trilogy. It's a trilogy, it's an amalgamation of all of the correct ideas from the history of human thought. So reading Kepi is like reading about the history of the human being, actually.
Yeah, it's the trilogy, is the tree, union of three folds of the field of knowledge, metaphysics or theology, philosophy, and science. Kepi studied in Vienna with the major psychoanalytic circles, he studied philosophy, he studied social sciences, education, and he has practiced a lot of psychosomatic medicine and psychoanalysis in the largest hospital in Latin America for 30 or 40 years, which is the Hospital of the University of São Paulo, very, very well-known clinical center in South America.
Beautiful. So Analytical Trilogy is a comprehensive body of work that includes more than 30 books in 8 different languages. I lose track because Dr. Kepi writes a book a year, sometimes 2 books a year, so who can keep track? He has a television program, which he and Claudia do together, which is aired in 45 countries on 221 channels worldwide. There's a newspaper called the Stop Journal, which is published here in São Paulo, a weekly circulation of 50,000 copies. We have a podcast called Thinking with Somebody Else's Head that I've been producing for a year and a half. The center in São Paulo is home to one of the largest private psychotherapy clinics in Latin America and to groundbreaking research being done in psychosomatic medicine. And this is much more to talk about this, Claudia, in our programs, because this is very exciting. Our Millennium Language Schools here in São Paulo have over 1,500 students. We teach several languages using the psycholinguistic method based on Dr. Kepi's work. We have immersion courses in the methodology frequently at our Integral Health Spa, the Grand Hotel Trilogia, in the country of Brazil, very beautiful. Kepi's methodology is also being taught in 2 school districts in São Paulo and at a university in southern Brazil. There's recently a 2-year course in psychosocial therapy developed by the Kepi Pacheco Institute. It's recently recognized by the government of Brazil for national accreditation. There are vocational courses for the training of psychosocial therapists. We have conferences, congresses, lectures. It's an extremely broad body of work and very, very beautiful to be part of it. And for our first program, I wanted to give people a sense of that, you know.
Yes, but don't get discouraged, because if you have a small, very, very small, and you feel small in front of all of this, and with a problem of your own, that you don't be ashamed, don't be shy, and just bring it, because from a practical example, and from your contribution, we can benefit thousands of people.
This is true, because every person who brings a problem, it relates to a problem everybody else has anyway, because there's not really that much different in our problems, is there?
Yeah, no.
You've seen.
It's a matter of being more or less conscious of it and being able to handle the situation.
And this is one thing, too, that's very interesting, because trilogical psychoanalysis, because it's universal, the themes are universal. Doesn't matter the culture, doesn't matter the sex, the color of the skin. These are universal problems that we all face, and it can be dealt with by phone. Trilogical analysis by phone is extremely effective, and there are many clients from Europe, from North America, who work with Claudia and Dr. Kepi, Selma Genzani, one of our other psychoanalysts, Mark Ulieda. There is a tremendous possibility for this kind of psychoanalysis by phone. There are wonderful books available. So our website again, trilogia.ws, trilogia.ws. And that's where you can get all of the resources, or at least get some exposure to the resources. And we will be back again next week for another installment of Healing Through Consciousness. It's been a pleasure, Claudia. Thank you very much.
Yeah, for me too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.